I can't tell you how impressed I am with you. I mean, I can throw ghost questions at you, UFO questions, reincarnation questions, and you react in open lines with the best of them. And then when we talk about some other harder issues that also affect us, like we're doing tonight, the speculation of what could happen with Iran, you rise to the occasion. I am absolutely impressed with your knowledge and ability of all kinds of issues. You truly are incredible listeners, and I'm glad you're part of the Coast to Coast AM family. And welcome back to the final hour right here on Coast to Coast. Tomorrow, by the way, the big debate between Jerry Corsi, Black Gold Stranglehold, and Michael Rupert. And we're going to talk about oil. Jerry believes that this planet makes it. Michael Rupert says no, and they are fired up. So get ready for that. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
That's great. George, I got to tell you, this is Art from Los Angeles. I've been listening to the program for about 8 or 9 years, and you filled into Art's shoes just wonderfully.
Well, thank you. Thank you. There's still a few more inches there to fill, but at least I'm in there.
You've done a great job. I enjoy it. Listen, I saw something very strange Sunday. There's a freeway, the 105 freeway, which runs east to west from the Los Angeles Airport, International Airport.
McCarran, right?
LAX.
Oh, Los Angeles. All right. I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as you travel along that freeway going east, you can, if you look to the sky, just a half a mile north of the freeway, you can see the flight path of the planes coming in, and at any one time you can count 10, 15 planes all in a row coming in.
Okay.
Sunday, I was driving east on that freeway, and I looked over to my left, and there was a plane just getting ready to land. It was maybe 3/4 of a mile from the airport, and it wasn't moving. It was hovering.
A commercial plane?
A commercial-looking plane. Hovering. As I drove the length of that freeway, which is about 20 miles, there were no less than 8 that myself and my girlfriend passed, and they were all hovering.
It's impossible.
That's what we thought. She had actually seen it before over in Ventura County, and she had told me about it, you know, and I believed her because I've seen strange things, but we both saw it, and is that even possible?
Well, I know when the air traffic controllers say, look, we're going to put you in a holding pattern, but not like that.
Yeah, you know, I've seen them. I work, you know, a couple miles from the airport, and I see them when they go in a holding pattern and they circle, but they were not moving. They were hovering.
Are you sure it wasn't because your car might have been moving, you know, like the plane?
You know what? I've traveled that freeway so many times. I know when they're moving and when they're not, and these planes were not moving.
And your girlfriend backs you up on that.
She's the one that pointed it out to me.
I've never, ever have seen something.
You know,
like that.
And I know Harriers can do it, but these were not, unless they were Harriers painted to look like commercial.
Well, no, I've seen Harriers. They're not as big as a 747 or any kind of a commercial plane or an L-1011. Harriers can do that, but they've got a different propulsion system in terms of the way they go up and out.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is weird.
Oh, it was very strange. And you know, as we got further down the freeway, you know, the planes were higher up because they weren't coming, you know, weren't landing, but they were all stationary.
It's got to be an illusion. It's got to be an illusion. Did they eventually move and land?
I have no idea because we got all the way to the end of the freeway and, you know, we didn't get to see if they did land or not.
Okay, but what you saw, somebody just told me that they were doing an advertising for some movie and you saw a 10-mile-long billboard in the air. airplane. That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll have to buy that.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you, George.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I would believe. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is John from the state of Washington.
Hey, John. Welcome to the show.
Well, you know, you're talking about Ezekiel 38 is what you're talking about.
You got that right. I don't want to, but it is.
And when you look at that, you skip the first four verses, and the first Middle East country that's named is Persia, which is Iran.
Yep.
Now, when you go up above that, though, you see that God is against Gog, Magog, the chief prince of Meshech, Tubal.
And isn't that Russia, China?
Magog, Meshech, and Tubal were the sons of Japheth, which were the sons of Noah. And these sons migrated into what we call Russia.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
But not China.
Oh, not China. Okay.
No. China will come in, but they'll come in later.
So you think this is the beginning of end times, don't you?
Absolutely. And what's going to happen here, I believe, Sharon and his problems are for a good reason, because there's going to be some emergency voting taking place in Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu is going to come into power. And he is more of a hawk than Sharon, because Sharon's kind of softened up.
Well, listen to this story. Since you bring up end times, I had a guest on a couple weeks ago while I was broadcasting out of the cave in St. Louis. I'm not saying Ariel Sharon by any means is the Antichrist, but what that guest told me was a well-known public figure that people respected was going to appear to die. He was going to then be taken over by the Antichrist in that condition, and then he was going to miraculously come back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to tell you, based on what I've been seeing, this guy had every indication that he was dead, as far as I'm concerned. And though he's not out of it by any means, they're talking as if he's doing better. It's a weird story.
Well, of course, we know the history of the Middle East, and at any time, any prime minister could be shot in the head. So, even if they had emergency elections and Benjamin Netanyahu came in, he could be killed and come back to life, too. But the thing is, in the early 80s, when Israel went into Lebanon, they went clear to Beirut. And in the process, they found caves with so many weapons that it would have taken a mighty, mighty army, much more than what the Arabs could even have come up with, to use all the weapons that they found. And they said so on CNN. And when Gog and Magog, Meshech and Tubal, which would be the Northern Confederacy with the Middle East Confederacy, when they come down, the Bible says they'll come down in the latter years, in the latter days, and there'll be like a storm and a cloud to cover the land. Now, they're going to have a lot of weaponry. So I believe that weaponry has been placed in many, many locations, and I don't know if there's still some in Iraq or if there ever were, but I'll tell you what, they're in league and have been in league for a long time, and it's a good reason why we've got a KGB president in Russia. Two steps forward and one step back was Stalin.
Good point.
Yeah.
We just got to watch these signs.
They've deceived the Western world, taken our money, built their silent submarines, they are the head of this Confederacy. And I believe that you're talking about a few months. And, with Iraq or Iran, the president making these statements, we're going to start up our
nuke facilities. We're going to blow up Israel.
Here's the thing is, why not let that cat out of the bag when they already know what they've got?
That's what I've been saying all night. I think they already have something.
Yeah, they don't just have one or two either, and they're not the only ones. You see,
did you ever play poker?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you've got four aces, you can do two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of brag like you're invincible and take whatever you can in the pot mm-hmm. and just lay down your aces and you win. You can bluff and not have anything. But if you get hurt, it's not going to be that bad. In this particular case, if you're bluffing, they're all going to get wiped out. They're going to get destroyed. I think they're holding four aces.
Well, and another thing, too, is that, you know, God told Abraham whatever land that he could walk through a long time ago, that would become his forefathers' property, right? The true boundaries of Israel, even though Israel hasn't spoken about it, goes clear up to the Euphrates River and Damascus.
Well, but don't forget, though, if you looked at everything from 1948 when Israel was formed, and you take it forward, if you read the end time prophecy, and if you believe it, the clock started then, and all this may be just part of a puzzle, and it's all falling into place. I've got to take some other calls. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello, Art.
Who's Art? It's George.
Oh, George. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Art so much. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No problem. A lot of people. You know what? I consider it an honor. So you can call me Art anytime you want.
I'm terribly sorry. This is Herman from Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you what station I'm listening to you on because you come on about seven of them and they all drift around, so I got to go from channel to channel. there's actually a question I wanted to ask you about an April show, but I wanted to ask you this question also. I don't know if you ever had this experience like when you were a kid, because I had a large family, and we had a lot of uncles, but there was always this one particular uncle who used to visit once in a while, and there was always something about him. You're always so happy to see him when he came in the door, and you always felt good when he was around.
He had good energy about him, great karma.
He did, and when I heard you talking the other day when we were talking about, you know, what happened with Art and all of that, and then you were talking about Coast to Coast being a family, then it struck me. I said, that's why I was so compelled to listen to the show for so many years. I get that feeling from both of you and Art that you're like my uncle. You get that good feeling just listening to you, no matter what you're talking about.
I think you're right. It is family. And I've got to tell you, you know, I take minimal vacations, but when I do, after 2 days, I miss this. I miss this environment. I miss the feedback from you, and it grows on you. So I can only imagine what it's like when you're at home or in your car or wherever you are when you listen to the program. It becomes part of you.
Oh, it does. It definitely does. It's like I said, every night when it hits 1 o'clock over here, And you're sitting around looking at the clock and you're getting ready to turn on a radio, it's like waiting for that uncle to visit. But you could invite him in every day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there was another thing I wanted to talk to you about. You had a show, I believe it was like in April, and you had this fellow on, I believe it was a man and wife that was on your show.
April? You want me to remember from last April? I can barely remember last week.
Well, this might pop into your mind because you were trying to do an experiment over the air, where they were supposed to think of numbers, and all the people that were listening were supposed to write down these numbers that came to their minds while they were trying to broadcast, I guess, through telepathy or whatever.
Right, and you think it was a husband-wife team?
I believe it was a husband and wife
You're
team.
You're pretty sure it was April? I happen to have in my hand my schedule from last April. I'm one of the weird ones where I keep this with me all the time. I do. So while you're talking, I'm going through this list in April, but I don't see a family here in April that would have done that. But that's okay. What were we doing?
Okay, well, you were doing an experiment where the fellow was doing it. I guess he was mostly in control of the show there, and he was talking about he was going to try and mentally project numbers, and we were all supposed to write down on a list when he would say next, you write down whatever impression you're supposed to get of what the next number was, and the next number, and the next number, and I remember that other callers were coming in, and there were people that had so many misses and everything, and you were saying, well, it doesn't seem like it worked. But I was thinking, because, like I said, in my area, I could pick you up on, like, about seven or eight different stations. And some of them, I noticed, have a time delay of up to, like, maybe 7 seconds.
That's right.
So that could really skew the whole thing, you know, with people listening to the program. And while he's thinking of the number, there's a time delay of 7 seconds. So by the time, you know, they're writing the number down, they're getting a number that he was thinking of, you know, before.
Maybe.
So that could have skewed the whole little test that you were doing.
Yeah, but I can't remember who it was, but that's okay. I do remember the show, though.
Oh.
That's the important thing.
Oh, and another thing with when you had that psychic on with the coal miners.
Yes, Sylvia Brown.
Yes, Sylvia Brown.
That I remember.
Yeah, now that show there, I taped that show, and I ran that thing a few times and listened to it over and over again. And there was no way that anybody could be confused that she did predict that they would come out alive.
Well, yeah, that was my impression. I mean, she never said the word alive. She said they would be found. But it was I was talking in the context that they were found alive, so it sounded like she was agreeing with me.
Oh, she definitely was. Because when was the last time you heard of a coal mine accident in the United States where they did not recover the bodies?
Well, it's been a while, but it does happen.
It does happen, but they were talking about that they were so close that they knew exactly where they were and all that. There was no doubt that they were going to retrieve them.
I would have been, look, psychics are wrong sometimes, and I think had she said, no, you know what, I told you, I didn't feel good about this. I don't like to talk after the fact. There's something strange here. But so be it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I could have accepted that. Yeah. Instead, she changed her mind right away like nothing had happened. And now I'm contemplating, what do I do the next time she comes on the program? I'm going to have to chase her on this one.
I know.
I played the tapes back just to make sure I heard what I heard.
I know that puts you in a very awkward position, but she was dead wrong on that, and there was no two ways about it.
Nope, none at all. Okay, got to run.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go on our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
You know, evil is in all men, no matter whether it be Iranians or Americans or whatever. So we all come from this, almost the same genetic code. So given that, it's really, you know, choosing sides and all this is really strange for me. But the Russians have been hungry for a long time. They have had thousands of nuclear weapons to sell. They have been selling them.
Yes, they have.
No two ways about it. When you're hungry, you're going to sell your junk.
Or greedy. Or greedy. I think you've got two different camps out there. You've got some Russian generals who've probably got a few billion in their bank account now.
So why do we need to worry about whether or not these Iranians are building bombs when they can buy all they want?
Well, because I think that's something that you can actually see, you can feel it, you can see it from space. You know you're doing that. In terms of the Russians selling their technology, yeah, I think it's been done, but I'm not so sure we can prove it.
They're selling their warheads, flat out selling them.
Yeah, but who's got them?
The Iranians. And what's so wrong with the Pakistanians having and the Indians having and all the rest of the region now being?
I'd like to know how those countries got their technology, and nobody said anything about it. I mean,
I mean, they bought.
You know what?
Them.
That's one of the greatest words that phrases the whole thing. Duh. We'll be back in a moment. Thanks for your call. We've got final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, thank you, New York, WABC, making Coast to Coast the highest-rated talk show at night in the Big Apple. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more of the rest of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And now that I'm back in Los Angeles, we're going to start posting some more Digicam pictures up for you on the website. So I'll let you know when those are all out there, and you can take a look at what they are. Wildcard Line, let's go to you on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good, sir. Thanks.
My name is Chuck from Maryland.
Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah. The other day, you had this skeptic on. That's the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of a skeptic myself, but let me tell you, in 96, my father was sick with lung cancer, and he wanted to be home. And it was just me and my brother home. My brother was out working on his car, and I was home upstairs with my dad, giving him some applesauce because that's what he wanted. He was real sick. police knocked on the door, which was downstairs in the basement door, and I yelled from the room I was in. The door was below that room. I yelled and said, "Come in."
Yeah.
Nobody came in. I heard another knock. I yelled again, so I finally got up and walked downstairs. It was nobody at the door. My brother was about 50 feet, maybe 100 feet away, working on his car. I said, "Did somebody knock on the door? Did you knock on the door?" He said, "No." Nah. I mean, but I'm saying maybe 15 minutes later, my father passed away. And, you know, today is not a day that I pass that I don't think about him. And I'm just thinking, you know, being a skeptic like myself, I don't want to use the word Grim Reaper because that seems kind of dark, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe an angel or something, you know, knocked at the door and took my father home. And, you know, today, 2 years ago, I mean, well, actually, I'd say 96, but 6 years ago, 4 years, 5 years ago, I still think of it that, to the day.
Do you remember that old Twilight Zone show with when Robert Redford in his young days was a police officer and he wanted to get into an apartment of some old woman? And she was afraid of death. She knew that death was knocking at her door. She wouldn't let him in. And he was a police officer. He'd been wounded, and he was begging for help. She finally broke down, let him in, and he ended up being Mr. Death, Dr. Death, whatever you want to call him. He was Death. And he took her away in a friendly way. You know, she was afraid, but he held her hand, and they walked away, and she passed on. And the moral of that Twilight Zone show was, is that, you know, it can be peaceful, and it was peaceful for her. I think that's what happened to your father. I don't think it was the Grim Reaper. I think it was something peaceful.
And also, you know, and we had the numbers ladies on. You was talking about how you always see number 11. I always see 22. 22 is my birthday, but it always thrilled me when I was a teenager. I always thought, God, 22, I'm past that age, way past that age. But, and now it's becoming more frequent. I always see 22, 22. I see 222. And I'm thinking, and I had a dream of an explosion, a bomb, a mushroom. And I'm thinking, you know, people say 666 give you something to think about. I'm thinking 222.
Well, if 222 doesn't work for you, that's could be the number.
Well, which is, you know, the three twos is six. And you take all the sixes, I mean, all the twos, add them together plus the six. That's 12 half of 2, which is 666. So I'm making a mark on your calendar. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I'm looking at February 22nd. I'm not saying anything going to happen, but I just keep the mind and, you know, on that date, you know, you never know.
That's my dad's birthday, Charlie. I think things will be okay on that one. First time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, my name's Lynn. I'm calling from Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, Lynn.
I'm calling regarding your program last night on the Utah Ranch.
Yes.
Okay, well, I was born in Roosevelt, Utah, 53 years ago, and was raised in Vernal. And I wanted you to know, first off, that this is the first time I have ever heard about anything about this, which is amazing to me because it's not that big of an area.
It's been going on for a long time, and this was like a 480-acre ranch out there.
Yes, I know. And I have talked to several people today who have interest in that, and they have never heard of it either.
It's there.
That's right.
It's now, there.
But what I wanted to say, my main reason for my call, is that 33 years ago, my older brother, he was 21, was honorably discharged from the Army, a Vietnam vet. And he came home on Thanksgiving weekend. He'd only been home about a month. And he was murdered in our hometown in Vernal.
Oh, that's...
And from the description that I heard last night of where you were talking about the Utah Ranch, his body was burned in my mom and dad's car. And it sounds like it was right there.
It's an evil, evil spot.
Well, and now I'm thinking, you know, it's unsolved. 33 years unsolved. And they can't even find a motive. And I'm thinking now after the program last night, you know, maybe something, you know, something else happened that we haven't even considered.
He might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because it sounds like he wasn't a bad person, your brother.
Oh, my brother is wonderful. He enlisted when he was 19, and he went off, and he served honorably, and he came home, and he was just proud to have done that and ready to begin his life. You know, he ordered a brand-new Mustang Mach 1, had it on order, and took my college roommate out over the Thanksgiving holiday and never came home.
That's
they
sad.
Went out to a, they went to a bar, and they went out and they partied, and it's a long story. She was supposedly raped, you know, double raped and whole nine yards, but it just, when I heard that last night, it just made me twinge because I thought that sounds exactly like
who molested her, not your brother.
Oh, no, God, no. She says there were two men.
Well, maybe they did him in.
Well, they
maybe they followed him somewhere.
No, they didn't follow him somewhere. They picked him up at the scenic view and killed him according to her, killed him at the scenic view, just, you know, 4 miles out of town.
And you think it's right next to that evil ranch, huh?
Well, that's not where they killed him. They drove around with her and in my mom and dad's new car, and they burnt his body
in
the car.
Horrible
story. At the ranch.
Okay.
At the ranch.
Thanks. Thanks for calling, at least. Horrible story. West of the Rockies, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing
good.
Tonight?
I'm doing
awesome,
fine.
Awesome. I had, I don't want to scare anybody. When I was working as a security officer in a little town called Federal Way.
That's scary all by itself. You guys come across all kinds of things.
I remember this very, very vividly. I'd gone off a shift. I was pretty tired. I went and got some Denny's there, and I went home. I was tired. I don't know what prompted me to go to Denny's. Not that that has anything to do with it, but it might. It might in your interpretation of my story. I go home, now I'm exhausted, in a 12-hour shift, and I go and lay down. I was sleeping at my grandmother's at the time. And I lay down, and I'm sleeping just fine until I start having this kind of this dream. And in this dream, I see what appears to be, in literal terms, Jesus, you know, like you'd see him in the movies, long hair, da 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 da. There were like little angels behind him, right?
Yeah.
And he's screaming at me. He's like, "Behold, I am coming," or "I am coming soon," or something to this effect. I immediately shot myself out of my bed, cold sweat. And then we had this earthquake, and it started shaking very violently. The newspapers read that earthquake, this is in roughly May of 2001. The newspapers read that earthquake lasted for over a minute. I'm sure you're familiar with it if you remember, like 3 years ago, earthquake in Seattle. Well, about a week or two after that, I had another dream. And this dream was about an earthquake that was going to happen over in the Middle East somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you remember, there was one about 10.0 that struck Turkey.
It was huge. There was another big one that hit in Iran in the town of Tam, T-A-M-M.
You're absolutely right. Now, I have one more that I've seen in a dream that hasn't quite happened yet. Two came. One, Mount St. Helens came. I had a dream when I lived in Michigan for a minute.
Are they all earth changes?
This one told me to seize the mountain, and I couldn't make any sense out of that for months and months and months and months and months until just about last summer. When Mount St. Helens was acting up?
Yes.
Now, the last one that I have, and, you know, I'm not Sylvia Brown or I'm a 23-year-old guy.
Well, you may be lucky there.
I'm just your average guy, you know. I tend to have a sense about things. Sometimes I'm completely wrong. But I have a prediction about the United States economy.
Tell us.
I think we're going through the floor.
All the way down?
All the way down. I think we will be a third world country in the next 5 years.
No. All right. That's your prediction. I hope you're wrong. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi. Go ahead.
My name is James. I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was calling to kind of shed a little light on something here. They were talking about Ariel Sharon at an earlier time. And I would like to clarify this. The Bible literally says, you can go ahead and get verses and things, but just kind of a quick summary. When the Antichrist comes to power, he'll have a man with him called the false prophet, which is really his religious leader. Now, once the almost roughly, not quite halfway through the tribulation period, the 7 years there. Well, first of all, let me regress just a moment.
Well, not too much, because we're almost out of time.
Okay, well, make a long story short, when the Antichrist knows he's something, he comes in, you know, he's represented in the Bible as the four horsemen of the Acropolis. What he does, he enters all four stages, but first he, through various military alliances, and he gains control and power and everything, through economic blocks and things. Now, about halfway through the tribulation period, he's assassinated. There is literally a head wound. He's assassinated.
And then he comes back.
Let me get to that just a moment.
Well, we already know this. We already talked about this tonight.
Point. At that time, his power is shifted to the false prophet, who's his religious leader. Now, shortly after that, to be a counterfeit resurrection of the Christ resurrection, what God the Father allows him resurrected, which is, like I say, the counterfeit of Christ's resurrection. All right, when he comes back to life, the false prophet gives, it literally says in the Word of God that he gives back the power to the Antichrist.
All right, who's the false prophet here?
False prophet is his religious leader. He's got this. You've got three. Well, let me kind of just go through the scenario.
No, I don't have time. And, you know, we've talked about the Antichrist before, and I made some comments about that. Friday is a perfect time for that. Okay, moving on. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Eric from Maquoket, Iowa.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, I have a little bit of insight. I just want to maybe tie up what the last caller said, and also what you had said earlier about the State of Israel being formed in 1948. Also, along the same times that the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered,
which were in 47, I think.
47, but yeah. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty
close
enough, you know. Anyway, and there's also a really good author who writes about that, Robert Eisenman, who's written quite extensively on those. But anyway, I wanted to tie this all together as far as the global economic situation. Now we have people in America think, you know, we get a lot of oil from the Middle East, but basically what America does is prop up Europe and Japan.
We resell it, don't we?
Well, we make sure that it gets, you know, to Europe and Japan. And one of the main reasons, you can look in recent Wall Street Journal articles about the situation with Russia's oil and natural gas supply. And they basically put a stranglehold on the Ukraine.
Where are you going with this?
Well, this is one reason we won't, I don't think we'll do anything drastic in the Middle East, because if we disrupt the oil supply.
We already have done something drastic.
Well, I mean, if we can't go beyond what we've already done.
Don't you think we would rather control the Iranian oil fields than those mullahs who are doing it now?
But see, Russia has bigger oil fields.
Well, we're not going to go into Russia.
No, but see, if we would destroy the oil fields in Iran.
Well, we're not going to.
Well,
we're not going to destroy. I mean, that's one of the areas we will never touch, and we go in and fix oil fields. Remember when Saddam went up and set the Kuwaiti oil fields on fire? Red Adair and his group went in there and closed them all up. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Beverly. I'm calling from Iowa on 10:40 a.m.
Hi.
Hi, it is such a pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening to you and Art Bell for years now. My mom just loves you guys. So.
Well, thanks for supporting us.
Oh, not a problem. I just called to let you know there's a caller maybe three callers ago saying that he heard some knocks and his father died.
Yes.
Well, the same thing had happened to me, except with three different relatives. And I just thought it was like an Italian superstition thing, but...
Three different relatives?
Yeah.
You were always there?
Yeah. Hmm. And what's weird is my daughter...
Keep away from us.
No, my daughter happened to... I guess it just gets carried down from generation to generation, because my daughter heard the knocks the last time, and my niece and my nephew were with us, and they did not hear it at all. It's strange.
Did anybody open the door?
Yeah, oh yeah.
See, that's how this entity gets in.
Well, no, I opened it. I mean, sometimes I hear it, like the first time I heard it up all the way up in the corner of a wall.
And then who died?
My father.
Oh, man. How soon thereafter?
It was like 2 weeks after.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
It's strange. It's just weird.
And there, you still hear the knocking?
No, not yet. Hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers. It's sort of devastating. I get a little nervous now, but...
Are these deaths expected?
No. Actually, they're unexpected, yeah. So it's kind of strange, and it's just weird. I didn't even know anyone else had this kind of situation.
But in all cases, you open the door?
No, actually, no.
Oh.
Especially if I hear it, like, on the walls or something like that, and there's nothing else behind it. So, I mean, I got sort of used to it the last couple of times.
You hear the knocking behind walls?
Yeah, like three knocks. It'll be just solid one, two, three, and then that's about it.
And then someone passes on.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Like I said, just keep calling, but stay away from us.
All right. Well, we love you out here.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. By the way, we're running out of time. Don't forget, Thursday night, which is tonight now, if you happen to have cable wherever you may live and you want to watch our predictions television show, you just go to indemand.com or predictions.tv, and you can show you exactly how to get to your cable outlet. It'll be on satellite. There's an announcement for those of you who have satellite on the predictions.com TV website on Tuesday. Those of you in Canada, you'll be able to get it off your cable outlet in February. February 2nd, as a matter of fact. So you'll be okay, too. And then I'll keep some of the lines open tomorrow night because the program would have ended when we start the show. And I'd like to get your reaction to it. No matter where you are, I'm predicting that at least 10 people will watch that program. I have no idea, but that's the prediction show. It's on In Demand, which is part of your cable outlet. You can either call them or it's there on the menu, but go to the websites, predictions.tv or indemand.com. And I'll be back with you tomorrow with a great debate between Jerry Corsi and Mike Rupert on oil. And then Friday, of course, will be Friday the 13th, open lines. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisori, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.